Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars. But mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, NPC, what are you drinking?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
That was a good sound.
So I've got a Frim Hood River, Oregon IPA, proudly crafted, humbly offered. This thing has some fucking lychee in it and some other stuff. It's actually quite delicious.
Oh, very nice.
Xander, what are you drinking?
Thanks to Mr. Buckley, who turned me on to this, I am drinking Connemara peated Irish whiskey.
Yes, yeah. One of my favorites.
Because it is $8 off at your local liquor store right now. So.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I felt like an abomination.
I know, you don't like the peat. You don't like going and chewing on campfire.
It tastes like scotch.
I don't like the peat. I don't even like the repeat.
But what about Pete and Pete?
No, Pete and Pete was fucking amazing.
Pete and Pete's fucking great. I have a personally autographed Season 1 and 2, signed by Big Pete, Little Pete, Mom, and the creators, and Artie. Nice.
Was the tattoo drawn on it?
No.
All right. Jacob, what about you? What you got over there?
Tonight is the night of finishing off the bottles. I am killing the bottle of Ghost Owl straight rye whiskey.
Ghost Owl's good. Yep. I haven't had the rye, but their normal whiskey is really good.
Their rye is even better.
I am drinking a decaf non-fat pumpkin spice latte because I am not drinking alcohol this month.
Tell us why.
That sounds
I'm very
like a
curious
good idea.
To find out more about this.
I'm doing so. My sister and I are doing Sober October. It was funny. I was thinking about it, and then we were randomly chatting with each other the other day, and she said, "Oh, I'm thinking about doing this," and I was like, "Dude, you're reading my mind." I was thinking about doing it as well. And we both were kind of like, yeah, it's time. You know, it's been a really hard year. We've both maybe been drinking a little bit more than normal. It's counterproductive to my depression and my anxiety and good sleep. And I was drinking maybe a little more than I would like to, you know. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a month off, let the system clear, and stay away from booze until Halloween.
You know, Poppy, we can do better than pumpkin spice lattes.
Oh, we can. This is true.
Yes, we can.
Would you like to hear about my other drink?
Hold on. Yeah. I just want to say, speaking of things that can do better, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon, as usual. I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
The good Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
I am Poppy Beaujolais.
And we are joined at, this is our first actual numbered episode recording in a while. We did some character jams and some bullshit one-off kind of stuff, but now we are sort of half in the studio. Poppy is finally sitting here next to me in the same area, running off of the beloved mixer, which I just touched. Oh, I shouldn't have touched, but
oh my fucking god.
Anyway, pumpkin spice, tell me more.
Jesus. So yes, I'm having one of my favorites. You know, I got the Starbucks pumpkin spice latte after a hard day and no booze for me. I was like, I want a treat. So I went to my favorite local Starbucks inside of a Safeway and got me a decaf, non-fat, venti, hot, double cup pumpkin spice latte with whipped cream. Mm-hmm. And it's very specific. but I do have my other backup drink here. I'm going to, what do we decide this is a Jarritos Burro?
Burro yes.
Jarritos. I'm going to be mixing, I'm going to make some a fake Moscow, a zero proof Moscow mule. And I've got some cock and bull because the state of America right now is a whole bunch of cock and bull.
Yep.
And I got me some lime Jarritos as well.
Is it Jarritos or Jarritos?
Jarritos.
Jarritos.
So I'm going to be mixing up some of that here in a little bit, too. where I need to whet my whistle.
Nice. You know, I never really got into the whole pumpkin spice thing, but I understand why people like it. It's not one of those, like, fuck you and that thing you like. It's more of a, oh, okay, cool, I get it.
Yeah.
Not for me, but you do you.
Yeah. What I like about it is it's a flavored coffee beverage that isn't too fucking sweet. Cause a lot of the flavored, like, special coffees are just too goddamn sweet for me. Even when it becomes, you know, peppermint mocha season. I love me a peppermint mocha, but I usually go for a half sweet. Kind of like me, I'm a half sweet. But yeah, I decided it's spooky season now, so I've got my bat dress on. Got my pumpkin necklace, and I got my pumpkin spice latte, so I'm ready for spooky season. I'm always ready for spooky season, but it's official now.
Yeah, goths unite.
Well, before we dive into pumpkin season, I think we're going to talk a little bit more about the season that has just passed. Ugh. Xander, you had some ideas on this topic.
I did. I kind of wanted to go back to our original format just for an episode and relive this summer that almost never was and talk about our favorite biking, dicing, and barring experiences that we had during the pandemic. And I was hoping to go and, like, you know, share some fun stories that we did involving those three topics. And I will say that one of my most memorable biking experiences so far on the Black Dahlia, my mighty little motor scooter, was going to Lincoln City about a month ago.
Mm.
And I guess a month and a half ago at this point. You know, I went before that entire part of the state burned down.
So sad.
So sad. And shout out to our noble firemen and National Guardsmen that are out there going and fighting those things. So kudos and cheers to you for being the real heroes of the story.
And I want to interrupt you here. If you happen to be listening or watching us, our state's on fire. It has been for quite some time. The whole Pacific Coast actually has been on fire. We've had a lot of rain in the last week that has helped. But there was this period where about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, the air here looked like we were in a literal nuclear winter. And everything was awful. You kept hearing these stories of all of these people that live on the coast having to leave and their houses burning down. It was tragic. This whole, again, the whole Pacific Coast was on fire.
Yeah it wasn't great. Yeah. I happened to manage to go on this trip before that happened. And I took Bitsy, who's behind me somewhere. And, you know, we went and, you know, went up to Lincoln City, drove down to Newport, down US 101. It was crazy windy and probably one of the more, like, challenging rides I've ever actually been on in my life. We had like fucking 50 mile an hour winds with like 70 gusts, like, on the fucking coast. It was nuts.
Wait, you took the Black Dahlia down 101?
I sure did.
Wow,
you have cojones, my brother.
Keep her moving. Yeah. And so it was some gnarly wind. It was like trying to, like, steady that fucking thing going like 55 miles an hour down the coast with a passenger while also trying to be the polite biker that I am and giving, like, you know, the bike wave with, like, one hand, like, trying to keep the whole thing steady. And, yeah, it was quite a challenge, but it was also one of those things where I realized I'm pretty good on this thing. Pretty good on this nice. Machine here. Nice. She's a good, steady ride. And it was probably my favorite ride of the summer. And just one of those things where, like, I need to get out of the city. I need to get out and do something. And, you know, to be fair, I also spent most of my time in the hotel room going and hate blogging the GOP convention. But that's neither here nor there.
My first ride on my first bike, motorized bike, I must note. My first ride on that bike, her name was Mona, because I name all my bikes, was on 101. We took 26 out. Okay, sorry. My first out-of-town ride was on 101. We took 26 out, split down to, what is it, Highway 6, hit Tillamook, hit 101, and took it just forever. And that was when I felt I was actually good at this. Like, that was when I finally stopped being afraid of the highway. And when I stopped being afraid of twisties, I realized that when you're on a nimble motorized two-wheeled machine and you're coming up some twisties and the little yellow sign says curves ahead, 25 miles an hour, I learned you can just flip that off sometimes and go 40. Because if you got a nimble machine and you're comfortable on it, it's so awesome.
Mm-hmm. So fun. Yeah. Just lean on into it.
Take some material off those pegs.
I realize I was mistaking your story here with the story that you told us when you first got the Black Dahlia and went down.
Oh, no, this was, it's a new story.
Okay.
Got yes.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of went and relived the first trip I took to the coast again. Nice. Except instead of going to Astoria, I went to Lincoln City.
Okay. Nice.
And it was delightful. Except for the hate blogging. But anyways, yeah. Aside from that, it was really, really nice. And I found a couple good dive bars down there. Went down to Newport and had some of the most incredible seafood of my life.
Oh, yeah.
They literally were like hauling in crates of like frozen fish from the docks that were like two blocks away. And I'm like, this is the place.
Here's a secret, listeners. If you are only passingly familiar with the Oregon coast, you've probably heard of Moe's. Moe's ain't got nothing on the chowder bowl in Newport. If you want some goddamn good clam chowder, go to the chowder bowl in Newport. It blows Moe's out of the water.
And try to sit in James's section.
Oh, he's amazing. I think he's worked there all his life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was born there.
Yeah.
He's great. Yeah. And you must have the Marion Barry cobbler too.
Oh my God. It's, yeah, I have to adjust my pants just thinking about it in the naughty way. So, Jacob, have you had any good rides this summer?
You know, this summer has not had a lot of good rides. For the first half of the summer, I was just using my bike as like, I work a job where we were ahead of the curve on going to work from home and everything. And so my bike was something to get on after work and just put some miles in, run some of my favorite routes through the rural areas. Unlike the other three hosts here, I live in Washington County. And so I can go through farmland, kick over to Clackamas County, you know, put in 60, 70 miles in an evening. No problem, and a big circuitous route. That was most of my summer riding. Since then, I didn't do any big rides, mostly because I had a bunch of big rides planned, but they were with several of the crews I roll with, and those got shut down due to COVID.
When you say roll with, you're talking dice, right?
No, I'm talking wheels, bro. Wheels. And then I ran right head smack into a little DMV issue. Folks, stay on top of your DMV stuff, because trying to get anything done in the middle of COVID is a pain in the ass.
Yikes.
You can't go into an office except for a very small section of things. I've had to be very careful about riding just because I'm riding illegal at the moment if I pull the bike out of the garage.
Well, I don't know if that's entirely true, because as a bartender, the OLCC actually went and told us that we could accept expired IDs as long as they were expired prior to like March 6th and up until October. We can still take them as legal ID.
Oh, yeah. My ID is fine. My registration is not.
Oh,
it's like the OLCC doesn't tell you when you can drive your motorcycle legally on the roads of the United States.
Yeah.
No, but the OLCC did marry us.
This is true.
This is true.
Yeah. Yep. Now, Poppy,
mm-hmm.
You've had a very storied writing history this summer. Tell God. Us about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
for fuck's sake.
I'm so Tell sorry. Us how you yep. feel. How you down. Really feel.
So I'm not going to say the name of the shop so I don't get sued for like libel or slander or some shit. But let's
fuck those guys.
But let's just say that in May, I decided I needed to go get my scooter serviced because I had had it since September of last year. And I wanted to start the couple of days a week I was going into my office. I, at that point, I wanted to be able to commute and wanted to feel safe doing that. So I was like, yeah, it's probably a good idea to get the scooter serviced, you know, just annual service. So I call around a couple places to see if they'll work on my model of scooter because it's kind of a weird scooter.
It's Chinese.
Well, that's the funny thing is that, yes, but it was an American company and it's like all this. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. So.
Hey, nothing wrong with a Chinese scooter.
No.
It was cheap. And I think it runs well.
It runs. Well, we'll get there. other than the problem that she doesn't like to start when she's warm, which is really weird. Like she loves a cold start. She does not like a warm start. Very strange. So I call around and I find this place and I'm like, hey, I've got a 2008 fly scooter Il Bello 150cc. Do you work on those bikes? I just need an annual service. Guy's like, oh yeah, no problem. Bring it in, drop it off. We'll have it ready for you in probably like a week. I'm like, okay, groovy. So I bring it in, drop it off. And then, you know, about a week later, get it. It's a little under $400 for all the service or whatever. And he was like, oh yeah, while we were in there, like there was stuff that was wired really strangely. So I went ahead and just like rewired it and made it a lot more like accessible and stuff for you. I was like, oh, that's cool. And they did everything else except for like, you know, light bulbs and brakes, basically. And I didn't get new tires because my tires were okay. But just the annual, you know, oil change, spark plugs, blah, 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 blah. Well, at that point, and for some reason then, between like May and July, I didn't end up riding my scooter very much. Part of this was due to COVID. I started working from home. Part of this was just, for whatever reason, I was just driving my car more. I don't really know exactly, but I didn't ride her very much. So about 5 rides in 2 months, which is really sad. 5 rides in 2 months. And on about that like 5th ride, or no, I'll say somewhere around like the 3rd ride, my scooter starts making this really horrific noise, like this kind of noise. I'm like, well, that's not good. It's kind of grunting, grinding, crunching, terrible noise. And I'm like, well, that's not good. And it kind of is like, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't really deal with it. And I started commuting to work a little bit. And one day I was riding home and it was just really bad. It was just this horrible grinding, crunching noise. And I was like, okay, that sounds like metal on metal. Something is not okay. So I finally get it home from work when I'm like my 5th ride and I call up just Jacob and I'm like, hey, can you come help me figure out what the fuck is going on with my scooter? And it's turning into a really long story. I'm sorry.
It's fine. No, it was an epic story when we were experiencing
it. It was really epic. Yeah. So this is, I guess, what, July, August? Yep. Yeah. Anyway, so Jacob comes over.
July.
Jacob comes over and takes it for a ride. And as soon as he started riding, I saw what the problem was. And that was that my exhaust was not connected to the scooter.
Mm-hmm.
Not connected. So he rides it around and comes back. And I was like, oh, shit, there we go. So we look at it and the bolts are missing. The bolts holding my exhaust to the frame are not there. They're just not there.
They're just not there.
So the exhaust is basically holding on by only the pipe alone. So I call up the mechanic.
But you know what? Let's just say this. If you're in Portland area and you want to go to a shop to swap a scooter, that's the place you would go.
Don't go there.
Don't go there.
Don't go there.
No.
Don't go there.
Sorry. Keep going.
So I give them a call back and I'm like, and so, well, blah, blah, blah. So Jacob looks at it and he's like, wow, so these jokers super didn't put the bolts back on.
They may have backed out, but you don't usually end up with that clean metal if they just back out on their own. It was all clean and shiny. It looked like someone had recently taken them out.
Yeah. Jacob had eyes on it. And yeah. So I call him and I'm like, hey, so first of all, I call them And now their voicemail message now says miraculously that they, oh, we no longer work on Chinese scooters.
Chinese scooters.
I'm like, hmm. Well, that's interesting. I called them three times. I left them three voicemails saying, hey, so y'all forgot to put the bolts back in. Can you help me out? Can you help a sister out here? And I finally called like for the fourth time and got someone on the phone and I was like, hey, so this is what happened. Like, can you just like, can I bring it back in? Can you like put the bolts back in and we'll call it good, you know? And anyway, long story short, they basically refused to take responsibility for it. They're swearing up and down. There was no possible way that that could have been their problem. And so back and forth. And not happy conversations with these misogynistic assholes. And then either like, you know, okay, blah, 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 fine. And then they're like, oh, well, your exhaust is rusted out and crap anyway. So you need a new exhaust. And I'm like, well, okay, I see the rust. You're right. Whatever. Fine. And I'm like, so, you know, here's, I'm like, fine. So give me a new exhaust. Like, you know, I'm like, I'll pay for the part. You guys pay for the labor. And finally, like, I wore them down and they're like, fine. So I ordered an exhaust. I went on a website and it was like, okay,
their website,
which I actually didn't know at the time. So I went on this website and like put like, okay, Fly Scooter Il Bello 2008, find exhaust. Mm-hmm. And it's like one exhaust pops up. I'm like, cool, there's the exhaust. I ordered it. It was like $73. I order it, comes in. I take it to the shop. I give it to them. And it was later that I then discovered that it was the wrong part. So I called them. I'm like, and they're like, oh, so that's the wrong. It's the wrong part. These GY6s are really fucking weird. Like, you got to have blah, 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 blah. I was like, okay, fine. So I'm going to try to return the part. That is when I discovered that that website is owned by the same company who owns this mechanic shop. So their website led me to the wrong part when I put in the specs of my scooter. Mm-hmm. And then they told me, oh, if you're going to return it, there's going to be a 30% restocking fee.
Fuck that. Fuck
and I was that. Like, excuse me? Are you fucking kidding me? This is your website that led me to the wrong, like, well, yeah, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to refund me the money for this. I will pay for the correct one. I don't give a shit. Tell me what the correct one is. I will pay for it. You're going to refund me the full cost. You are not going to charge me a restocking fee because this is your fault. Said, and if you do this, you will never hear from me again. Because finally, I think they got the owner on the phone with me. And I was like, look, you want to make me go away? All I want is a bike that works. You're either going to make a bike that works or you're going to refund me my original $400 for fucking up my bike. We didn't fuck up your bike. Yes, you did. Shut up. But it was back and forth for like weeks. Like weeks and weeks and weeks. And it was not good. So I only got a few rides in this summer so far because my scooter was being held in fucking
purgatory.
Yep. I was not pleased. And I mean, I was very proud of myself in that I kept my cool like the whole time I was on the phone with them. Like I was assertive, you know, but I was like polite. I didn't swear. I didn't like. You know, I didn't like raise my voice. Like I was very diplomatic, you know, whatever. And this guy's like, well, you should just go buy a Vespa. Like this is a shitty Chinese scooter. Like this is what happens. He was like, this is a common problem. I'm like, OK, so if it's a common problem, then why didn't you check the bolts as part of the annual service? You got me there. I'm like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Don't I?
Yeah, I do fucking got you there.
So anyway, it was not good. It was very, very disheartening.
Yeah.
So that's my story. Yeah. I'll say my favorite ride was probably out to go see Xander while he was working, which was just like last week.
That was really fun.
It was. It was a nice ride, too.
It's a beautiful ride out there.
I would like to close out the summer riding segment with a bit of a positive note.
Yes, please.
Kind of a counterpoint to Poppy's horror story. I started the summer with a bike that needed to be serviced. I hadn't ridden it in a while, and I needed to find a mechanic, and finding a mechanic in the middle of a quarantine is kind of difficult, but thankfully I threw Jacob's name out and cycled to and said, we love that guy, And I got in and got my bike worked on. It was pretty quick, pretty efficient. I loved their style. They were like, this is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to itemize everything here. And then when we talk to you, we're going to go down the list and tell you what we did and why. And each of these things and how they got together to make your bike better. It's like, holy fucking shit.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I have never had this level of service for a car, let alone a motorcycle.
Do they service scooters?
I don't know. Maybe we can ask them.
Because, oh my God.
And then I brought it home and haven't ridden it since. Because where's there to go? All the parks are closed. Everything, they're either closed or open, and everyone knows they're open. So everyone else is thinking, I'm going to go there. No one's going to be there. But I don't want to go there where everyone's there because they thought no one was going to be there. And then I'm going to be like, ah, oh, fuck, I've got the plague now. Shit. Yeah.
That's why
I don't want that.
That's why we got to go right out to Troutdale and post up at Xander's bar, because when I sat in that back corner out there, like, ain't nobody, everybody would just look in there and be like, really? Oh, fuck, we're not going in there.
Really?
Yeah, because it's so small. It was just, I had the whole place to myself. It was great.
Xander, can you corroborate the story? Is that how it is?
I can, actually. So my bar that I usually work at is 150 square feet. It's fucking small.
Yep.
The back room at the bar has three tables, only two of which are open. And generally speaking, people go, they'll look back there, they'll see one person, aka Poppy, and be like, well, I guess I can't sit back here, and they'll fuck right off. Okay. And so if you have a group of, you know, two or three people, like, I don't know, say a Poppy, an NPC, and a Jacob, for instance, you could just go and hole up there and just hold court the entire time.
Yeah. And the two tables are
down with that.
Yep.
The two tables are like 12 feet apart from each other too. So if you just go post, I mean, the only thing you got to do is you got to go inside the hotel to go to the bathroom, but it's not a big deal. Yeah.
You know, that's what the disc golf course is for, right?
I was just going to say, I do have one of my regulars, Amy, love you. And she refuses to go to the bathroom inside the hotel, and she'll just fuck off the woods and then come back. It's great.
I mean, I have no problem with doing
Amy,
that.
Amy, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, please let us know.
NPC had a great thing called Contagion.
Yeah.
During this summer, in which we got to play a fuck ton of Hammer Crawl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we also got to go and play a fuck ton of Pugmire as well.
Yes. And yeah, there were a number of games over that. That was thrown up at the last minute. Not even the last minute. I think I advertised it like 2 weeks ahead because GameStorm got canceled. And there was a lot of people that we like seeing at GameStorm, but I still wanted to game with.
Yeah. And so, you know, I got Bitsy involved with both the Hammer Crawl and the Pugmire, bought her first set of dice and her second set of dice. And, you know, it was really fun to go and, you know, have someone that close with me to actually go and game with, because we got to go and like pre-plan, and like I got to teach her all the ins and outs of role-playing and nice. To go and show somebody that for the first time. It's a great experience, you know, it's a beautiful experience to bring them into like the gaming land and everything. And I also went and I showed Bitsy a whole bunch of trailers for the newest Vampire the Masquerade game coming out on PC, because it takes place in Seattle, where she grew up. So she's going to be my guide for that.
Nice.
But yeah, just a whole fun experience of going and just a lot of, like, I usually, for the listeners out there, I usually do the sound for Hammer Crawl at the conventions. So I don't get to play Hammer Crawl that often.
Mm.
But you do get to play when we run online on some Saturdays.
That's what I'm saying.
Everyone's favorite cleric of Guy Fieri, John Beefsteak Sauceman.
I sure do. And, you know, and so finally being able to play Hammer Crawl after having to listen to it for years, just doing the sound, but finally being able to be a player was so much fun this summer. So much fun.
Nice.
That convention that we did online, that online Contagion, was around the time that I decided I was going to start just running games all the time. Mm-hmm. I've been filling my free time over this. God, not furlough because I'm still working, but this quagmire of social distance at my house. I can't bring people to game at my gaming table, so I have to fill that time with gaming online. I'm getting more gaming in right now than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
I have four fucking games running on the regular right now. It's fantastic.
It's almost like you're friends with a lot of people who don't like to leave their house.
Yeah, right?
Almost.
And I think Brandon is in most, if not all of, well, I think Brandon, our good friend Brandon, our number one fan and greatest listener ever, is in most of my games. And he was in the Contagion too.
God, that was so, it feels like ages ago, that Contagion. It feels like it was last year. And it
there
was,
has been so much shit happening this summer that it feels like last week was last month. You know?
Yeah. It's just, I can't even.
Anyway, I've gotten games onto the quote unquote table that I have been meaning to get back on the table for decades. I'm running two old school Palladium Rifts games right now. Who does that? Me. That's who. And
I'm running, you fucking maniac.
I'm running Hammer Crawl and I have been running Pugmire, but I think I'm going to finally start trying to bring that game that I was supposed to have published two years ago. I think I'm going to start bringing it online using the tabletop simulator program from Steam. But yeah, that's my gaming. Jacob, what about you?
Well, you know, my summers generally start with GameStorm.
Yeah.
It's the milestone that says that like spring is here. Writing season has started. It's time to get out and, well, in my case, run a con and maybe play one game. And, you know, MC our live Hammer Crawl show at GameStorm. And then
which you do a very good job of, I must note. Very
good.
Yes, you
do.
Yeah.
And then my summers end with Wagon Con, which is I usually get to play more games at. And I MC the Hammer Crawl game there too. And that's what starts and ends my summers. Those are my bookends.
Summer starts in March and ends in May?
Well, you know.
I mean, those are the big events.
My big ones.
Yeah.
Those are the big ones.
No, I'm very similar. I think for me, the bookend for summer is Labor Day weekend, which I used to do Dragon Con every year. And then for a while it was PAX. And now it's staying at home and avoiding humans.
Right. So, you know, the thing is that like my summer is often noted at the cons I'm going to, which change a little bit year from year. I am involved in running a couple of them. Not Wagon Con. Mr. Buckley and the crew take care of that one, and it's my Relaxicon.
if that term hasn't been turned into a con, we need to do that. We need Relaxicon.
I don't think anyone's going to touch that because it's known in the con community as the con that con goers go to relax, and so it's everybody has different Relaxicons.
I would say that we should start a puppy con, but I fear that signals might get mixed on that. And we could get a lot of puppies, which we like. But then again, we also have a crossover in fandom with another community that uses the term Dungeon Master to be something totally different than what we normally use. And they also have puppies, which means something totally different than what we might want at a convention for gamers.
But those leather masks are amazing.
Is it,
they
though?
They really are.
I am just going to say that we have several people who are huge fans of this show who are very active in the West Coast furry community. And PuppyCon would be a cross-fandom con of the first order.
Oh, dear.
So in our Twitch chat currently, RavenRanger113 recommends Puppy Con and Pup Crawl. And I want to tie this back into something that our good friend Aaron Bowman one of the former chairman of the Wagon Con board recommended to me to do with Hammer Crawl is to do an annual hammered crawl.
Yes.
And yes, that has to fucking be something yes. that happens. And definitely the hammered crawl where yep. we all dress as dead Hammer Crawl characters and then just go for part of
it. Oh, I could dress as Trippy McCork.
You know, we're going to have to hide a sock in one bar.
We're going to have to go and Bitsy and I will reenact Elf on the Shelf. Yes. Splattered Elf on the Shelf.
So
that
anyways.
Was pretty great.
So my usual, you know, usually summer for me was adapting my in-person Witcher game to virtual tabletop. If you're interested in that, check out a previous episode where NPC and a friend of ours jammed on virtual tabletops and making that work.
That will actually be released around the... that one's already out. Sorry.
Yep.
Yes. The previous episode where we did Firefly, that one will be released very soon. I fucking promise.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah.
And I got to participate in a bunch of one-shots, including one that was done by Hallowhand, who was another person who showed up for Contagion. Excellent GM. Got to participate in a game with him. I've done a lot of building for a couple one-shots. I've ran a couple one-shots. I've been doing a whole bunch of writing. I ran a bunch of Delta Green. I'm currently in process writing a Delta Green con game and a G.I. Joe the RPG con game. We'll see if that sees the light of day. It's going to have to go through a massive system overhaul. We'll see how that...
Hasbro just announced the G.I. Joe role-playing game like yesterday.
Yes, this is based on Jay Libby's G.I. Joe the role-playing game. So if you look up Jay Libby... or you text me, I'll hook you up with the files on it. Anyways, beyond that, my summer has been getting back in touch with my video game self. It has been years since I had an internet connection where I lived. I didn't have a gaming system of any sort. NPC helped me get the backbone of it put together and built the damn thing when I got all the parts that were needed for it. And it has been a summer of rediscovering my love of big video games. Lots of Battletech by Harebrained Schemes. I have become a huge fan of 7 Days to Die, zombie survival horror.
Whenever I am sitting at my computer and I load up Steam and I look to see who's online, there's Jacob playing 7 Days to Die. I think you play it almost 7 days a week.
Well, it's not 7 days a week. Part of it is that my system is one of the few that the group of friends I frequently play with can handle doing the map editing for. And so it'll be sitting there up and running, building maps for folks. And then I just send them the map. So, but it takes hours to build these maps. So it's just sitting in the background running. But so yeah, lots of 7 Days to Die, lots of other stuff. So it's been the summer of video games for me.
I started out the quarantine playing a lot of Drunkest Dungeon.
There you go.
And streaming. I had a lot of fun learning how to stream that and try to get, I have like 2 bosses left to beat in that game and I'm just like fucking quagmired and I ran on ADHD, I ran onto other things.
The match is struck.
A blazing fire is born. An ancient mariner? Okay, anyway. But I don't know, I stalled out on it and I haven't touched it for a while. And then, I don't know, I started painting this summer, which has been pretty groovy. I've been wanting to get into acrylics for a little while. So I've started painting and doing just some kind of like pop culture nerd shit to kind of practice and get going. And I'm not really like a designer. So I've just been like taking other people's designs and like making myself stencils and painting stuff to practice. Like, I'm not going to sell any of this stuff, you know. It's just, oh, Nathaniel's going to show one of my paintings that I did. So there's an oppa that I did. So I've been painting some nerdy shit. I did like a peridot from Steven Universe, and I did lion from Steven Universe. I did oppa. I've done a couple of things. So that's been a lot of fun. That's been a very fun meditative process and all this kind of craziness. NPC and I have started building the Lego haunted house, which is fucking great. I don't know where the box is, but
it's right in front of you.
Is it really?
Oh, no. The box. The smaller inside box is right in front of you. The other box is like way over there.
Oh, it's way over there. Anyway, so it's like 3,000 pieces or something. It's huge. It's like motorized. Although I still have to order another motor and one Mordor. One of the motors is back order. Anyway, so we started doing that, which is really cool. And I was introduced for the first.
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt. We've had a flamethrower in the backyard. We should get a mortar in the backyard.
No, that freaks out the veterans.
Either that or I can have them help me load.
No black powder cannons.
Does not simply set up a mortar.
Nope.
One does not simply turn left on Burnside.
Anyway. Or Sandy.
Or Sandy. Fucking yeah. Sandy. Jesus Christ.
Sandy verse. But I was introduced to this just a few weeks ago. I'm like 12 years late to the game on this, but I don't give a shit. I was finally introduced to the gamers, Dorkness Rising and Hands of Fate and Journey Quest. And I binged
I introduced you to Journey Quest some time ago.
No, I didn't.
I did that in Humans and Households.
I saw Humans and Households. Mm-hmm. I don't remember Journey Quest at all.
Okay.
I don't remember this. You know, so I got introduced to it, I think. So I binged it all in one weekend, and now I'm finally up to speed on all that good nerd shit. So that's been a lot of fun. And I may be threatening to get Troublesome Strumpet tattooed on my lower back in orc.
Journey Quest, the gamers, Humans and Households. They're all fantastic.
They're delightful. They're delightful. Yeah.
They're made by nerds who are good at what they do.
From Seattle.
Yeah.
They're all from Seattle. Yeah.
Dead Gentleman and Zombie Orpheus are the two groups.
Yep.
I can never remember which group is which, but I know that they collaborate a number of times on a number of things.
Yeah. So that's been fun to get into that and try to like figure out like how can I get into season 4 of Journey Quest? Like, how can I make that happen? Other than that, it was mostly fighting with the mechanic, but nerd shit. That's all my nerd shit. Other than doing some hammer crawl occasionally and doing this podcast, and I've been geeking out on painting, so that's some nerd shit. Sure,
that's good. That's good.
Yeah. It's been fun.
Also, I want to go and give a quick shout out to my father, who is apparently watching this tonight. So, to Joey.
Hi.
Love you, Daddy-O.
Daddy Gerrymander?
Daddy Gerrymander joins us.
Yeah, Daddy Gerrymander is apparently watching us tonight. And
awesome.
Also, I believe if she's still listening to Emily from a college in San Luis Obispo, who interviewed me earlier today, if you're watching, hello. She said that she was. And so, because that was, she was interviewing me about some of how I spent my summer too, which was fighting fascists in the streets of Portland. So.
Hooray. How did I spend my summer vacation?
Not the way I thought I would. And, you know, again, this summer was kind of a trying time for us poor bastards in the service industry.
Yeah.
Salute to all of our brothers, sisters, and thems in the service industry.
So all you beautiful waitresses, waiters, servers, hosts, bartenders, bar backs, cooks, sous chefs, dishwashers, all of you magnificent sons of bitches, I applaud thee.
Yes, salute you. And drink to thee. Thank you. Yeah, it was a hard couple of months there for for people in the service industry. Yeah.
When you work for a company called McMinimins and they decide to go and shut down the state the day before St. Patrick's Day, the day in which you make rent, that kind of fucking sucked.
Yeah, yikes.
And let's just put this into perspective. You don't make rent for just 1 month.
No, you don't. It's like a month and a half, maybe two. During the last St. Patrick's Day weekend that I worked at McMinimins in their largest piece of property in their little mini empire, I made basically like 2 months of rent in like 3 days.
Wow. Holy shit.
And so I was really looking forward to that. It was a slow, slow winter. Mm-hmm. And then just, they fucking went and, you know, they fucking, Nancy Kerrigan you, you know, it was bad, right? The kneecaps. And,
oh boy.
And, you know, it was rough to come back from, but, I will say we actually had a pretty damn good summer, over at the Multnomah County Poor Farm. We added a bunch more picnic tables to the place outside the bar that I work at. We added a fuck ton more tables and chairs out there as well, all properly socially distanced and everything. My property is 74 acres. Like, we have a lot of fucking space to work with. And it was slow like the first couple of weeks, but then families realized, oh, I can just take a picnic blanket, get a drink, buy a pizza, and then fuck off to the lawn.
Yep.
And no one will be around me. And it basically turned into a city park with a bar, is how I described it. Because you had all these families coming out there that just wanted to get out and do something outdoors. It just happened there's 9 bars on the property, and they would just go and like get drinks and food, and it was great. And then we started to have live music after a while. But we had to do some of the most amazing mental gymnastics I've ever seen in my entire life. I had my property manager come to me and say, just so you know, this is not a concert. It is ambient music performed by live musicians for the outside area, which is now being considered a restaurant. It is the same exact thing as if we just pumped in, you know, recorded music, except it's by live musicians. So in order to keep this alive and afloat, we had to go straight fucking Footloose and enforce a strict no dancing policy. Because if you dance, it makes it a concert.
Oh.
And so I had to go and watch the life force drain away from one of our security guards when he was watching a mother and her like 3-year-old daughter dancing in front of a stage, because he knew he had to stop it and was just like, I can't.
You go tell the 3-year-old to stop dancing.
Where was Kevin Bacon during all of this?
Right.
Cackling in the corner, I'm sure. But so he like 45 minutes, or 45 seconds, he watched this tiny toddler dance and was like, I have to stop this so we can keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And it just, you could see it hurting his soul.
No, I'll tell you what, he didn't have to do that. He really didn't. Someone else said he did, but he,
yeah, that someone else was the governor of Oregon.
Okay, again, 100%. Someone else said that he can't allow a toddler to dance. But that was his choice. He could have said, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to let baby Kevin Bacon dance. And then everything's going to be fine. The future will be saved.
Yeah. OLCC is, and governors short-term are
consequences and long-term consequences.
Yeah, it's like,
balance those two out.
Tell a 3-year-old to stop dancing.
Kevin Bacon does not approve.
Like 60 people lose their jobs. Like,
nor does Kenny Loggins.
on the plus note, I got to go back to some of my favorite bars in the city, very socially distanced, and it was lovely. Shout out to Chen's Dynasty 2 and Stacy, my favorite bartender in the entire city. Got to see you again. Mm-hmm. Jacob and I were just...
We're not going to mention the name of that place. We wanted to...
Fucking treasure, and you shouldn't go there. but if you're a Patreon member, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I acknowledge the risks and everything, but again, wear my mask, abide by all the rules. You know, we distill our own hand sanitizer at my work. You know, and so we're doing the best we can to be safe and make sure people have a good time too, because we know going stir crazy is a real fucking thing. And your bartenders and servers and hosts and waiters are there to help you not go insane.
When all of this finally started to enter, phase two, when they started to allow certain places to reopen, Poppy and I went to one night only. We went out and visited our favorite pizza place and our favorite strip club, which happened to be a block from each other. And it was like, oh my God, I remember what it is like to be out of my house and having a beer. It was just amazing. And I'm going to say it on the air. Well, you know, the air. I'm going to say it. I want this place to keep making money because times have been tough. Brickhouse Pizza. Mm-hmm. Sandy. Northeast Sandy.
Finally dropped the name.
You dropped the name. Best fucking pizza in this town.
Yeah.
Seriously, give them some money. Keep them open. Because if they close, I don't know what I'll do with my life from that point forward. All wonderful things that are pizza will be over.
And I'm just going to go and set the building on fire.
No. And it is brick oven pizza. It is made in a brick oven. It's slow cooking, y'all. Yeah. It is pizza done right. It's not fast.
Yeah, but you expect your pizza to come to you 30 minutes after you order
it. Yeah, it's not fast. It's worth it.
It will take a while. But it's so good.
It's so good.
I just want to point out how far we've come, because NPC has been mentioning this place without its name on the podcast since we started.
I'm desperate. I want to keep it open.
Yeah. And they do takeout. They do delivery. They do. Yeah.
Yep.
I wasn't ever going to mention its name because I didn't want it to fill up with douchebags. But
if you're not already a Grubhub, DoorDash, whatever user, look into it. Look into it. It's worth doing. I've gotten some of my favorite sushi delivered to my home. I've done all of that. Just when you do it, make sure you're tipping your staff. If you go out and if you're calling into home, make sure you are tipping your drivers. You know what?
Yeah.
That whole 15% bullshit, 20% bullshit. If you can swing it, folks, and I know some of you out there aren't working, this is the land of 30% tips. You know, yeah. A lot of those delivery drivers are people who can't currently work their regular jobs, and they're just side hustling to make ends meet. Put the money out there and keep them employed if you're like me and get to work from home.
Yeah. How many sushi burritos have I ordered during quarantine? From Let's Roll PDX. Oh my God, Let's Roll PDX. Oh, so good.
So where else have we been? You know, you two went out to, let's see, I'm willing to bet it was Brick House and Pirate's Cove.
Fuck yeah.
Correct. Yes. Yes, yes. We also, only in the last, 2 weeks did we decide to, venture out for maybe a meal. And this was sort of like with the idea of if we walk into the place and we don't like their setup, we're not staying there.
Mm-hmm. That's smart. That's smart. That's a good thing to do too. Yeah. I mean, I was just at Chen's yesterday, and they're just like constantly wiping the place down.
Yeah,
like they actually do contact tracing, which I've yet to see another restaurant doing.
Oh wow!
But they do contact tracing there, which I was very impressed with.
Nice. We went to one of our favorite breakfast places, oddly enough, Elmer's.
Oh.
We went to the Elmer's over on Sandy, sort of near the airport-ish, kind of.
Yeah.
And their setup is really good. First of all, it's a huge building to begin with. And their setup is really good. They've got plexiglass barriers between the booths. They've got You know, every other table is closed. They've got it set up really, really well. All the staff wear masks. They're wiping down the pens. They're wiping down the tables. They're wiping down the menus. They're fucking on it. I felt very, very safe there. Which was really nice because Elmer's has good food.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol, get going. Drink up, drink up, drink up, then order again.
I realize that this summer kind of got stolen from us, which is unfortunate. But what are y'all looking forward to doing next summer?
Rifts. More rifts. All the rifts.
Can I be part of your rifts game?
Yes. Let's talk.
You got Sundays open, man. Let's game.
Let's see what I can do.
I am looking forward to doing everything and more that I didn't get to do this year. Basically, everything from March onward that I was looking forward to was canceled, like many people, including a visit to, you know, my favorite conventions. I had to cancel a trip to go see my parents out in Missouri, which was just heartbreaking. And
not just parents, but grandparents,
my grandma and my aunt. And I had to cancel all of that, and which was just heartbreaking. And I couldn't go to Colorado and go see my niece and my sister, and I couldn't do a birthday party for myself and blah 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 blah. And so next March, right around the BDAB anniversary, I'm gonna be turning 40. So my 40th birthday is next year. And I'm really hoping I can do something for it. I want to go visit my sister and my niece. I want to go visit my parents. One of my best, dearest friends, I just love him to death. He just became a father today. So congratulations to Arlo and Heather on your new baby.
Wow.
Just born today. I'm hoping to go visit them in North Carolina. I just want to see my family. You know, that's the big thing for me. I want to see my family. Yeah.
If I have the ability to take the time off next year, I'd love to go for a motorcycle ride throughout the West Coast. Avoiding California, because I'm on a lifelong voyage to never cross into California. It's a thing. We've talked about it.
You realize California is like 90% of the West Coast, right?
Yeah, well, you know what? There's more than that.
Only so if you're not counting
I can just
Canada.
Avoid it. I just ride around it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you can circumvent California, then you're not on the coast anymore.
It's a long story, but for some reason, I'm destined to never go to California. So anyway, I would love to take a motorcycle trip throughout the West. I would love to take a motorcycle trip to the East. I would love to retrace my trek from Atlanta to Portland, vice versa, and then backwards. But I'm also 40. I'm over in my 40s now.
Mad power to the new California Republic, motherfucker.
that's great. Yeah.
Ewan and Charlie are in their late 40s and early 50s, and they're doing their fucking motorcycle trip from goddamn South America.
They're also sponsored by really expensive companies, and they get free motorcycles and vehicles and free supplies.
But
I don't have that luxury. Yeah,
well, that has nothing to do with you being 40.
Yeah, well, I'm also old and cranky, and I ain't got time for that shit. So... Anyway, I would also really like to do what we were saying we were going to do, which was to go to Mardi Gras in Mobile, Alabama.
Yes.
We were going to go this year, but it ended up being that my sister, who we're going to go visit, and that was the excuse that I was using to go down there, was not going to be in the parade. She was going to be in the 2021 parades. I'm guessing since it's Alabama and it's a red state and they don't give a fuck, they're going to have Mardi Gras next year, which means that we might have the opportunity to go if we want to.
Well, that's going to depend because Poppy got a new job in April and Poppy does not have a whole lot of PTO banked.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my plan. I want to run all the games. I want to go on all the rides. And I really wish, I really, really, really look forward to that potential announcement that GameStorm 2021 and WagonCon 2021 are going to be happening.
Fuck yeah.
I really hope so. I really miss those.
More than anything else, that's the good news I want. No, wait. Okay, that's a lie. November 4th, you know, that's the good news I want. But after that, more than anything else, I want to know that GameStorm and WagonCon are going to continue being things that bring joy to my life. And so 2021, hopefully that's what you're going to bring me next summer.
For me, I'm looking at a bunch of things. One, at the end of last summer, I moved out to Washington County. Washington County, for those who don't know, Washington and Yamhill are like one of the preeminent winery regions in the state of Oregon. And I had been looking forward to cruising around from winery to winery on rides, going down wonderful back roads through vineyards, going from winery to winery on my motorcycle, doing very small tastings, and just getting to do that. I had several major trips planned with several of my crews that were going to be major trips. I have a major ride project that got stalled out, Project Firefrost, which is a unsupported run from Oregon back home to northern Minnesota. No hotels, minimal gas stops, iron butt the entire way with a Lake Superior circumnavigation and back. And so that's back on the planning boards. And like I have a whole bunch of dive bars out here in Washington County that I wanted to explore.
Hell this yeah. Summer.
And they were closed, like dues, hanging out with my brothers and sisters in Rockers Northwest, doing all of this stuff. I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, shout out to Raven Ranger in the chat. Raven Ranger and I are both members of several different fan groups, one in common. And this last year put those fan groups where a lot of the members are in survival mode. And both of us are looking forward to going to thriving mode next year and being active at cons and coming out with a bang and being more socially active and more socially involved.
One more thing. I would like to improve my writing abilities in the next year so that by 2022, maybe I can get my motorcycle that I really want, which is the CTX 750. Dual clutch DC. But I there's a couple of things I'm still I'm still not super comfortable with leaning really, really far. And there's a couple of things I want to improve upon in my riding before I go drop that kind of money on a really big motorcycle, but it is an automatic and it fits me well. And so that's one of my goals.
I wouldn't mind getting one of those Harley electrics.
Yeah. Those are, oh, they're so expensive.
Yeah.
They're so expensive.
Dude, fucking beautiful.
But they're really nice. Yeah. Yeah. I would love to have an electric motorcycle, but nobody makes one that fits me.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck you.
Well,
all.
Poppy, that might be changing.
I really hope it does, because all these bikes with a 32-inch seat height or a 30-inch seat height is some bullshit.
Newsflash, Zero Motorcycles, which we've talked about once or twice on the air.
Yeah.
They're one of the most innovative electric motorcycle companies in the United States. Recently inked a deal with Polaris to expand their engineering and manufacture, which gives them the capacity to open up to a wider range of riders.
Oh, that would be awesome, because Zero makes amazing bikes. They're just too fucking tall and they can't be lowered right now.
I wish I had the money for one. They're beautiful. But let's go ahead and close this out, because we've been talking for a long time. Poppy?
I just realized that today is Brandon's birthday.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so Brandon, happy birthday, Brandon.
Fan number one. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy. Happy birthday,
Brandon.
This worked out well. We're recording on birthday night.
Nice. I love gaming with you in Pugmire. You stoic son of a bitch.
Oh, he's great to game with, and he's an awesome human being. Happy birthday, he's Brandon.
Fucking rad. Thanks, cheers, Brandon, buddy, for being badass.
Yeah.
So, everybody, this has been fun. We haven't actually had a good main thematic recording session in quite a while. It feels good to be back in the grind.
Yeah, this setup is really, really nice. I like this.
I hope that someday we can bring Just Jacob and Dr. Xander Gerrymander back into the studio with the same setup that we got here. It actually works pretty well. We just got to get some of those plexiglass panels so we don't actually
spill each other.
We can just
love
hang up
that.
We just hang up clear shower curtains, man.
No, it's not the same.
We have the technology. We can do this.
Harumph.
Anyway, Xander, do you have any last words on this topic?
All I want to say to our lovely listening audience out there, Nastrovia, first and foremost. Most importantly, register to fucking vote. You know, this is not a partisan fucking issue. This is an American issue. Register to vote. Vote your conscience. Do your research. Be smart and fucking vote. Early voting is starting in most of our places right now that we live in. In Oregon, it's going to start really soon as well. And more than anything else, just vote, participate, and be part of our democracy here. The Republic depends on it to make this a more perfect union.
We the people.
In order to form a more perfect union. Okay.
But for real, y'all, if you're in a state that doesn't do mail-in voting and you have to go to a poll, please go, stay safe, like wear a fucking hazmat suit if you have to. If you can't get there, if you need a ride, please just get online, ask for help, get to your polling place. Please, you just, you know, tell, this is so important. Please vote.
And be the change you want to see.
Yep. If you're in a state that does mail-in ballots, like Oregon, which has done mail-in ballots for fucking forever.
For decades without fraud, by the way.
Yeah.
Get that shit in the mail early.
I'm just waiting for mine to arrive.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. Make sure you got enough postage on it.
Actually, Oregon no longer requires you to have postage. Oh, it is now prepaid.
Right. That's amazing.
FYI.
Yes.
So.
Okay. Anyway, getting off of the political topic
not political.
Of the day.
It's not political.
Well, technically it is. It's you're voting for the political leader of the United States.
A lot more things than that, though. Here's the thing. There's like a lot more things than that. And to me, voting, encouraging people to vote should not be political. It should just be our civic and patriotic duty.
That's I agree. My but let's move this episode to a close.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
2020 has been rough. We definitely not did not go into this year expecting what we were going to get out of it. We did not foresee the problems that we would have. I look back at us and our episodes and even our opening of the year episodes, our plans for 2020, our talks about 2019 dashed to the rocks. We have had to make do. And hopefully the coming year will be better. Here's to 2021.
Here's to 2021.
Here's to 2021.
To all of you, stay safe, wear a mask. Let's kick this thing in the ass.
And this year's been rough for a lot of people. I know most people I know have been struggling with some pretty severe depression. You know, we want to see you in 2021, guys. We love you all of our listeners, all the people out there. Stick it out. We're here. It's hard, we know. But, you know, if you need help, go get it. If you're a veteran, please call the Veterans Crisis Line. Call your local crisis line. If you're a civilian, stay with us. I know it's hard right now, guys, but stick. We want to see you in 2021.
Yeah.
We are here for you.
You can go on to any one of our channels on the Facebook or the Twitter or whatever the hell else we're on.
The medias.
On the medias. And if you need someone to talk with, I guarantee you, I promise you, one of us will answer your call.
And if you want to communicate with us directly, I highly recommend joining our Discord server. It's breakfastpuppies.com/Discord. You can join us, have conversations with us. You can tell Brandon happy birthday. You can have a good time hanging out with a fantastic community of friendly people. And people, if you're local to us, you can call on us for help. And if you're not local to us, maybe you can spread the word and find other people local to you to join in and then build a community out there. And then you can call upon them for help. You know, we're trying to build a thing here. But either way, thank you for listening. Follow us online if you can. All of the links are in the notes on the episode, wherever you found it. I promise. Just scroll down below and you can just click on the things and it will take you to us online. Thanks for your time, for your interest. And again, I'm NPC.
I'm Just Jacob.
The good Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
I am Poppy Beaujolais.
And we wish to remind you,
always keep a shiny side up.
Always tip your bartender.
May your dice critically succeed at all time.
And please always drink responsibly. Please vote. And Black Lives Matter.
Does matter.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes.